From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Welcome to a very special edition of Register Radio on a kind of a momentous day. I'm Tom Price here, along with Jeanette DeMello of the Register and Dan Burke of the Register. Dan, you actually had to change your plans for today to come in and do this very important show.
Yeah, well, I didn't plan on. Yeah, I was out sick. I'm out sick, but you know, Supreme Court rulings are a big deal, and it's a really serious issue that we need to talk about and inform our listeners.
It is indeed. I want to bring on Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. Jeanette, thank you for changing your plans as well.
Absolutely. It's a landmark, and we have to talk about it. We've been talking about it for quite a while, but it's good to discuss it today and invite our guests to share their opinions on this very important topic.
Thank you. Dan, I know that one thing that has given me a little bit of comfort today, and of course what we're talking about here on the program, is the Supreme Court decision regarding same-sex so-called marriage. As you know, Dan, and I think you know as well, Jeanette, we have morning prayer and then a short business meeting every morning in the radio office at 9:15. As we were going around the room with our prayer intentions, one of our team members said, you know, when the world gets darker, we must be brighter.
Exactly right.
To be that bright light in the darkness, which is what Mother Angelica was all about.
It's true. We really the position of the believer when after we've woken up Christ in the boat in the midst of the storm, and he calms the storm and says, "Hey, you got to have faith." Our role is to do just that, and that is to bring reason, prayer, all of the things at our disposal to combat the darkness, but also deal with it effectively and see how God's working in and through it so we can advance the gospel even in the midst of it.
I know we're anxious to get on our first guest, and we have a blue ribbon panel here on the show today, and our first guest is going to be Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. She is the founder of the Ruth Institute, of course a nonprofit organization dedicated to addressing the effects of the sexual revolution on women. And by the way, the Ruth Institute submitted a friend of the court, an amicus brief, that questions how so-called same-sex marriage equality would affect children. And that's something that we really need to redirect the conversation, I think. Dr. Morris, welcome to our broadcast.
Thanks for having me on. You know, that the gospel reading for this Sunday really touched me, too. You know, Jesus tells the waves to be quiet, and the waves get quiet. I'm thinking, I'm getting the boat with that guy. I want his boat.
Exactly.
That's all I have to say.
Exactly.
It's the safest place to be. Dr. Morris, we have, a decision that really was expected. You were predicting this a year ago, basically. And here it is. It's a 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court that the states must recognize same-sex so-called marriage under the 14th Amendment. This is based on equal protection clause of the 14th Amendment. But why don't you tell us why did the court rule this way? What was their reasoning?
Well, once you go down the path of saying we have to have equal protection for adults in their sexual relationships, you can end up in some pretty peculiar places. Mm-hmm. And the court has long committed itself to the position that the government is here to allow adults to have the sex lives they want with a minimum of inconvenience. You know, that's been the court's position since 1965 in Griswold versus Connecticut. That was the court's position in Roe v. Wade. And now, you know, we've got people who want to have sex lives with a member of the same sex, and they still somehow want children. So the court is saying this is the government's business now, is to make it as easy as possible for adults.
Right.
But nobody's talking about the kids, though.
This is exactly what you've been talking about, is the effects of the sexual revolution on many, many different people, especially on children. That's what your friend of the court brief was, your amicus brief of the Ruth Institute to the Supreme Court on this decision. And why is this getting so lost?
Well, I think, you know, long ago, adults decided that children were sort of not part of the equation when we're talking about reorganizing our sex lives. So we can do whatever we want sexually, and we don't have to really consider the impact on children. So that's a thought process that people have been accustomed to for a long time. And so when I am out talking to various groups and I say, hey, look, this is going to harm children. This is going to be a structural injustice to children. It really takes people a while to even register that fact, you know. And so the way we put it in our amicus brief is to say the court must explain to us why marriage equality for adults is so much more important than family structure equality for children. Why do some children get to have a legally recognized right to know both of their parents, and other children are legally blocked from knowing both of their parents? How is that equality for anybody? That's what we asked the court, and of course they didn't even want to talk about that.
And did they address that in this ruling at all?
No, not really. The only, you know, I haven't had a chance to absorb the whole thing. But, you know, they have the idea that if the couples are allowed to get married, that benefits the children who are living with them because the adults feel better and therefore it'll be good for the children. But in fact, the issue of whether there's an injustice to children, that has been completely sidestepped really by all of the courts. President Obama had the temerity to say that we are a people who believes that every single child is entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Can you imagine pro-abortion president talking like that? But the problem is this ruling, the Obergefell ruling, deprives children of their most basic birthright, which is the right to know and be loved by their own parents. And I think that no amount of legal mumbo-jumbo or cultural happy talk can fully compensate for the fundamental loss that children are going to experience here.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio. We're with Jeanette DeMello and Dr. Jennifer Rohrbach Morse and Tom Price, and we're talking about the difficult decision of the Supreme Court today on marriage. Dr. Morse, could you bring this down to earth for us? What is the implication for the family and for children? And if you could, give us an example of how this you think this is going to play out negatively moving forward.
Well, yes. Well, you see, what's happening is that the old common law presumption was that a woman's husband is presumed to be the father of any children she gives birth to during the life of their marriage. That's called the presumption of paternity, and it makes perfect sense when you have a man and a woman in the marriage. But what the courts have been doing already and what they will continue to do is to do a gender-neutral reading of that presumption and call it a presumption of parentage, so that your same-sex partner is now presumed to be the child's other parent, not father, obviously, but the child's other parent, which, of course, they are not. And so what the law is going to do is to create basically the legal fiction that your sex partner is your child's other parent. The birth certificate will not tell the truth about who your biological parents are, and the government will basically take sides with the desires of the intended parents rather than with the need, I would say, the need and right of a child to know who their parents are. So the Ruth Institute, in the wake of this ruling, the Ruth Institute is calling on governments at all levels to move towards having accurate birth certificates, to record accurately genetic parents on every birth certificate so that children know who they really are. The government should stop falsifying birth certificates.
Can I bring this down to one more practical level? So are you saying that,
sure,
for instance, you have a woman who has a child by a man, she changes her sexual orientation, now has a lesbian partner, would that lesbian partner in that marriage now be considered that child's biological parent, or with this equal legal protection as a biological parent? And so then if they got divorced, that new lesbian partner introduced into the situation could potentially take custody of the child in some cases?
Well, in that case is a little bit different from the case I was talking about just a moment ago was artificial reproductive technology. The case you're talking about really should be treated like an ordinary step-parent situation. You know, so in other words, if I divorce my husband and remarry, it shouldn't matter whether I get remarried to a man or to a woman. My kid's father is still their father, should be. But we do see evidence that in some courts, courts are sort of being generous to same-sex couples who are in this new step-parent situation. So you see reports about this, that the judge is so sympathetic with the gay man, for example, that he gives a gay man everything he wants, as opposed to the rights of the birth mother, children's birth mother. Those kind of cases are already happening. That has to do with judicial favoritism. What I'm worried about is not so much judicial favoritism, although that's bad enough. I'm concerned about the fact that where there's no divorce, where the child is born into an intact same-sex union, right, the other partner is going to be legally recorded as the child's other parent, and the opposite-sex parent is nowhere to be found. And, in fact, the government will block that person, the child's other parent, from knowing their child. And there have already been cases like this where a biological father came forward and said, the two ladies in the lesbian relationship both collapsed or, you know, more or less were unsuitable. Child was being put in foster care. Biological father comes forward and says, I want to take care of my child rather than have her in foster care. And it took him years to extract his child from foster care because the state of California said, no child can have three parents. You aren't a parent. These two women are both the parents. Bye-bye, you know. And so California's response to that was to put three, now have a law in California, you can have three parents on the birth certificate. So where I think the law should go is toward more honesty on the birth certificates. Where the law is going to go is to have three people on the birth certificate, maybe more, maybe at their own decision, those three people all want to be on the birth certificate, but maybe not. Maybe a judge appoints one of them to be to have legal parental rights. That's all now already legal under California law. So what this case has really done, the simple way to think about this case, you guys, is that redefining marriage redefines parenthood. Parenthood is no longer a natural biological reality. Parenthood is now the creation of the state for the benefit of adults.
Dr. Morris, we've got it in there. Thank you so much for your work on this important issue. After the break, Michael Caspino will come talk with us about the legal implications, and then our own Joan Frawley Desmond will work with us revealing her conference call with the bishops.
Lots to cover here on this very special edition of Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't go away.
In today's world, we have all kinds of misinformation and even disinformation about Christianity, Catholicism, and religion in general. And we need a source that is going to give us direct quotations and authentic news about what is going on in the church, so we know what the Pope really said and not what the media said he said. We need to know what the Synod is doing, what the encyclicals mean, in order to be able to give the facts of our faith. For that reason, we need the National Catholic Register, which will give us the good news along with the hard news of our world today. And in that way, we can have what we need to go out to our world and give them the good news of Jesus Christ.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back to Register Radio, a very special edition today, along with Dan Burke and Jeanette DeMello. I'm Tom Price, delighted to bring on our next guest. Michael Caspino is an attorney with the law offices of Buchalter Niemer in Irvine, California. He heads up the firm's nonprofit and religious organizations industry practice group, and he represents dioceses and archdioceses throughout the United States. We welcome you to Register Radio. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Much appreciated.
Michael, this is Dan. I'm interested to hear from your perspective what the implications of this ruling will be on parishes and dioceses around the country. What do you see as the most critical areas that we need to understand?
Well, I think the problem here is that the Supreme Court left way too many questions unanswered. The majority opinion really only paid, about 3-4 sentences to the religious liberty issues. It's almost as though they completely ignored them. And the problem is that so much ambiguity has been left out there that we're looking at decades of court challenges, cases, and fights over this clash. We have a clash here. We have the First Amendment right to your free exercise of religion, to your deeply founded beliefs that same-sex marriage is wrong. On the other hand, we now have a brand new right that's been introduced, the fundamental constitutional right. And a fundamental right is as strong as it gets, a fundamental right to same-sex marriage. Those two rights clash. And the Supreme Court today did nothing to try to give us any guidance as to how to deal with that clash. And I will tell you that there's a very telling line in the dissent by Justice Alito, where he says that this decision is ultimately going to be used to vilify Americans who are unwilling to assent to the new orthodoxy. He goes on to say the implication of this decision is going to be exploited by those who are determined to stamp out every vestige of dissent. And what is he talking about? He's really talking about religious institutions.
And Michael, to bring this down to the parish level, I foresee, and I wonder if you do, the next step is going to be you're going to have a homosexual couple go to a parish priest and say, marry us. And he's going to say,
oh, that's coming.
Right.
That will be coming probably within the next 30 days.
And what is the implication under this ruling for that priest? I mean, is he liable? What's the legal ramifications of that, of refusing to perform a gay marriage?
I hate to tell you, but the Supreme Court didn't give us adequate guidance on that. My own personal thought is, let me tell you where I think it's going to go. I don't think that we are going to see priests who have to preside over gay weddings or same-sex weddings. But I do see them attacking the fringes. I see them attacking that your parish hall, you rent it out once in a while to people outside the parish. By law, you're going to have to rent that parish hall out for a reception for a gay wedding. I see them attacking our universities and our colleges and our hospitals. I don't see them immediately being successful in attacking the religious sacraments, but I see them starting around the edges.
And really, we saw this. This was foreshadowed during the arguments themselves earlier this year when Justice Alito asked this very question, is how does this affect religious institutions? And the Solicitor General there, who Donald Verrilli, who was responding on behalf of the pro same-sex marriage plaintiffs, he responded, it's going to be an issue. I mean, so that was made very clear. And I think now it's very interesting. You see the same kind of separation between religious churches and religious entities, Michael, that we've seen in other cases, like the Obamacare. So now, again, we have the courts, I think, telling us what is religious and what is not, and where our religious liberties should be held, dear, and where they won't be. Is that the correct reading of it?
It is, but you know, I will tell you this: I am not optimistic about the path before us. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. Because, and I have been involved in this litigation, that the same-sex marriage proponents have been some of the most vociferous litigants mm-hmm. in the United States over the last 20 years, litigating every single issue they can find. And there's nothing to me that says that they stop here. I believe they're going to keep going. We now have a pronouncement by the Supreme Court, but as Justice Alito said, they're going to use this decision to try to wipe out every vestige of dissent in our country.
Michael, is there a line of defense for our priests where we begin to separate the sacrament of marriage from the civil element of marriage like they do in Mexico?
Well, yes, absolutely. First off, there's a number of decisions out there that respect marriage, Supreme Court decisions that respect marriage, respect our sacraments. And I believe that a court, at least I hope so, would respect the sacrament of marriage and not make a priest participate in a same-sex marriage. I do believe that.
That's Dan Burke with Register Radio. We're on with Michael Caspino, attorney of law that deals with nonprofit religious organizations, Jeanette DeMello, editor of the National Catholic Register, and Joan Frawley Desmond joins us after a conference call now with the USCCB. Joan, how did that go?
I think the bishops are really still assessing this decision, but they expressed very strong concerns about what it could mean. At the same time, I was really impressed, Dan, that they are absolutely committed to persisting with the teaching of the truth on marriage as the church teaches it, educating children in Catholic schools, and conducting their ministry according to the teaching of the church. They were several bishops were online, including Archbishop Laurie, the U.S. Bishop's point man on religious freedom issues, as well as Archbishop Timothy Broglio, who leads the Archdiocese for Military Services, which serves millions of people in the military across the world. And they have already been dealing with religious freedom issues, so it was a good pairing for the two of them. With Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the U.S. military was already had to accommodate new views about marriage, and the church has had to deal with that through chaplains and in its ministry to individual service members. So now with the Supreme Court decision, Archbishop Laurie and Broglio both said very strongly that, you know, we will do what we have to do to continue to teach this, and we are going to defend our right to do so. And that included not only preaching in church, not only in the public square, but also in all the other ways where marriage law now could affect the church's ability to reach out to those it has ministered to over hundreds of years.
Joan, did they talk anything about the legal strategy, as we were discussing with Michael, which is the attacks that are coming, they're inevitable. We've seen them against the Christian bakers and things like that. Did they talk about how it is that we're going to be dealing with these things to protect our priests from litigation and penalties, potentially imprisonment or whatever, the loss of nonprofit status?
They didn't go into detail, Dan. I think at this point they've expressed concerns about this before. They've been in litigation before. But I think they wanted to mostly assure the faithful that as far as the church's teaching was concerned and as far as the courage of the U.S. bishops was concerned, that they were still resolved on this matter. It was interesting, on a separate note for a minute, Jerry Bradley, who's a constitutional scholar at Notre Dame, just emailed me his thoughts about it, and he contrasted Kennedy's decision, which was kind of murky on religious freedom. On the one hand, Kennedy said, yes, the First Amendment does protect the right, he kind of said it in very, very kind of broad terms, protect the right for people to continue to believe what they believe. But, he didn't get into the details of it. Meanwhile, Roberts, Bradley said, offered a much more succinct treatment. He said Roberts raises and considers the religious liberty question. He said that, in particular, Roberts said, the majority graciously suggests that religious believers may continue to advocate and teach their views of marriage. Roberts went on to say, the First Amendment guarantees, however, the freedom to exercise religion. Obviously, this is not a word the majority uses. So Roberts is clearly critiquing the majority position as not being as robust as it could have been on this issue, and I think Mike is right to express concern about where this is going.
This is this issue that, both of you were talking about, this exercise, the freedom to exercise, is something we've been fighting quite a bit in many different fronts and in the U.S. Today. Both of you are writing about these issues. Mike, you've got Michael, you've got a piece on the Register's website right now, which our listeners can check out. It talks about this issue, the dangers to religious liberty. And I hope that many of our listeners will take a look at what you've had to say there. And Joan, obviously, you've been covering this for a long time. We're now waiting for your story on the responses and your blogging on what has happened there at the Bishops' Conference and all of their material there. Is there any other reaction that you've seen that you'd really like to share with us as we get ready to close here?
I would just say first, I think our church leaders and many other Catholics have already been tested. It's interesting, Jeanette, I think the HHS mandate prepared people to really realize that this was a major issue. Now the same-sex marriage decision is reinforcing that, but also dealing with new issues, dealing with the central social institution. And I would like to just share Archbishop Chaput's comment. He says, the Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision on marriage is not a surprise. The surprise will come as ordinary people begin to experience firsthand and painfully the impact of today's action on everything they thought they knew about marriage, family life, our laws, and our social institutions. And he said, the mistakes of the court change nothing about the nature of men and women and the truth of God's word. The task now for believers to form our own families even more deeply in the love of God and to rebuild a healthy marriage culture.
Thank you guys for joining us to deal with this issue. Of course, EWTN News, all of its outlets, EWTN News Nightly, the world over, National Catholic Register, Catholic News Agency, we'll all be covering this very closely, the implications as it rolls out. If you want to find out more, go to ncregister.com. That's ncregister.com. Also, you can catch The World Over with Raymond Arroyo on Sunday night at 7 Eastern. And he is meeting with Bishop Laurie. And learn more. God bless.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Need a lift? How would you like wings? EWTN's weekly email newsletter, and it's free for the asking. Every week, we'll give you an inside look at the latest program information for live events, special features, and live show guests. You can see it all at a glance. Check out what's playing on EWTN Radio, read up on breaking news, and see the latest items added to our online library. Log on to EWTN.com, go to the Wings link, and sign up today. You'll get a new edition each week, emailed to your inbox. Don't miss a minute of all that's happening on EWTN. Get your wings today.